The CBS World News Roundup, presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. And now the news.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend in New York with the CBS World News Roundup. A major assigned to the 1st Infantry Division put it like this. I had been through Korea, he said, and I thought I was a combat veteran until last night. I had never seen fighting like that before. Another veteran was reminded of action around the Hürtgen Forest in Germany in 1945. Chances are that both men were unintentionally exaggerating, but their reaction suggests the kind of warfare now developing in Vietnam. Morley Safer, reporting from Saigon, tells what's been happening out there in the past 12 hours.
It was a day of scattered incidents and some casualties. At Binh Hoa, American draftees got their first taste of fire in the war in Vietnam when the Viet Cong mortared positions of the 1st Infantry Division just west of the airbase. Three Americans were killed and several wounded. Artillery and airstrikes were restricted because the Viet Cong mortar positions were close to centers of population. At first light, a ground sweep was made, but the Viet Cong had pulled out. In the air, it was learned today that a Navy Sky Warrior from the carrier Independence was shot down south of Hanoi. The two-man crew bailed out, but were apparently captured on the ground. In South Vietnam, the first convoys in months traveled along Highway 19 to supply tons of food and fuel to Pleiku, the main government stronghold in the central highlands. And in Da Nang, two Marines, after some celebration, tried to get a B-57 bomber started, but were quickly arrested. A spokesman said he would not rule out the possibility that they intended to bomb Hanoi. Morley Safer, CBS News, Saigon.
Congress today concerns itself with matters of interest to American troops in Vietnam and elsewhere, such matters as GI benefits and pay. Paul Niven reports from Washington.
The House of Representatives, which normally whittles down presidential requests for money, will today give President Johnson twice the amount he requested to increase military pay. The raise will average 10.7%, with the largest increases going to enlisted men with 2 years' service and commissioned officers. Total cost to the taxpayer, more than $1 billion. The administration had asked less than $500 million to raise military pay, an average of about 5%, a deal which Defense Secretary Robert McNamara said would be fair to the serviceman and fair to the taxpayer. But House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mendel Rivers, a frequent McNamara critic, disagreed. He called the administration's proposal disgracefully inadequate. With more servicemen fighting and dying in Vietnam, the House will not be in the mood today to shortchange them. The administration has, in fact, given up the battle for economy, but may renew it later when the bill reaches the Senate. Paul Niven, CBS News, Washington.
The Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston says some training exercises for astronauts L. Gordon Cooper and Charles Pete Conrad have been canceled because of a time shortage. Cooper and Conrad are the men who will fly the 8-day Gemini 5 mission. The probable launch date for Gemini 5 now seems to be August 19th, and Public Affairs Officer Paul Haney says there isn't enough time left before then to complete the original training schedule. Today at Cape Kennedy, the Air Force had trouble with a rocket guidance system, and as a result, the launching of three new unmanned satellites aboard an Atlas Agena has been indefinitely delayed. Two of the satellites are designed to look for possible violations of the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. The third will monitor natural radiation above the Earth. At one point, the countdown reached T-minus 1 minute 50 seconds before the launching was called off.
Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Good tobaccos, the Kent filter. For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with the good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste, light up a Kent, and and you've got a good thing going.
Commencing its sixth week today, the maritime strike on the Atlantic and Gulf coasts, and it has brought a sharp comment from Secretary of Commerce John Connor. Intolerable, he says, and against the public interest. The particular union that called the strike, he said on NBC's Meet the Press, has made demands that are quite inflationary and quite unreasonable. Connor also said that the walkout has hurt the American effort in Vietnam. About one-third of the Marine Engineer Beneficial Association went on strike June 15th. Other smaller unions of dock officers and radio men followed suit. Syngman Rhee, former president of South Korea, died today in a Honolulu nursing home at the age of 90. Rhee had been in poor health for several years. He left Korea in 1960 after student rioting in Seoul caused his fall from power. In the widely separated and dissimilar locations of Bloomington, Illinois, and United Nations headquarters in New York, final respects are being paid today to a man who was very much at home in both. The story first from Bloomington and Harry Arrow.
Adlai Stevenson will be buried today after tens of thousands of people from his home state turned out in Springfield and Bloomington to show their pride in the Illinois man who grew into a world leader. The simple services at the Unitarian Church and later at Graveside will be attended only by members of the family and close friends. President Johnson is flying in from Washington for the funeral. Governor Stevenson's body has been lying in state since yesterday afternoon at the Unitarian Church, which he attended when visiting Bloomington. 5,000 hometown people were lined up outside the church waiting to pass into the Jesse Fell Room to pay their last respects to the man who served as their governor starting in 1949. And now for a report on ceremonies in New York, here's Richard C. Hodulin.
This afternoon in the great blue and gold General Assembly Hall of the United Nations, the delegates of the member states will gather to pay their last tribute to their colleague and friend Adlai Stevenson. It will be a simple memorial ceremony with only four brief statements, as befits the man who occasionally, with a smile, proclaimed the fifth freedom, freedom from speech. Secretary General U Thant will speak, and former President of the Assembly Carlos Sosa Rodriguez of Venezuela. Then Adlai Stevenson's friend, Archibald MacLeish, followed by Secretary of State Dean Rusk. After the ceremony, Mr. Rusk will meet the ambassadors and have a private session with U Thant. The business of diplomacy moves forward. Vietnam remains a pressing problem, and on Tuesday, the Security Council meets again with Russia in the chair to discuss the Dominican Republic. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee in Washington continues its closed hearings today on U.S. actions in the Dominican Revolt. It will hear testimony from Admiral William Rayburn, director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Committee Chairman Fulbright says the primary goal is to find out whether any mistakes of judgment were made. In Bogalusa, Louisiana, a 26-year-old Negro is being held in jail today on charges that he fired shots at a carload of white men. Joe Gatlin, described by authorities as a member of the militant group known as Deacons of Defense and Justice, was booked for attempted murder. Three other men were arrested with him. No one was injured in the shooting, which came at the end of an otherwise quiet Sunday in Bogalusa.
Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent, for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Good tobaccos, the Kent filter. For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with a good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste, light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going.
Greece today is still gripped by a power struggle involving the new premier, the old premier, and the royal palace. Phil Douglas reports from Athens.
Premier Georgios Anastasiades Novas sought to bolster his four-day-old government today as his opponents mobilized for a giant show of strength tonight in downtown Athens. Police units armed with tear gas poured into the city to prepare for any eventuality. George Papandreou, ousted as premier by King Constantine last Thursday, announced he would drive tonight to his Central Union Party headquarters to receive delegations. Papandreou himself has asked for peaceful popular uprisings to bring about the downfall of the palace-appointed Athanasiadis Novas government. 25-year-old King Constantine was apparently satisfied the new government had the situation well in hand. He flew back to his Corfu Island summer palace Sunday night after conferring with his premier. At a pro-Papandreou rally in Crete, Greece's southernmost island, 20,000 persons Sunday night shouted, "Down with the palace," and "Plebiscite, plebiscite." It was the first time public outcries against the monarchy were heard, indicating the situation was harming King Constantine's prestige. This is Phil Douglas in Athens.
The already troubled relations between France and the United States today feature a strange kind of dispute over, of all things, an American reconnaissance plane. From Paris, the report of Bernard Kalb.
The French have not yet broken their official silence on allegations published in Paris newspapers that a U.S. photo reconnaissance plane entered prohibited airspace over the French atomic installation in Peyrelatte in southern France. But a French official here says France plans to protest to the U.S. Embassy over the incident, indicating that the protest might come sometime during the day. This was learned shortly after the French Foreign Ministry disclosed that an inquiry into the affair was being carried out by the French Defense Ministry. The story broke here over the weekend in assorted and conflicting versions, with one newspaper alleging that the U.S. jet photo plane had been intercepted by a French fighter plane and forced to land. U.S. military officials denied this. They were satisfied, they said, that the U.S. plane based in West Germany had not entered the prohibited air zone. Today, Paris newspapers treated the incident both seriously and humorously, with one newspaper asking jokingly, will a Franco-American war take place? Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Paris.
India's mounting problems have brought a drastic proposal from one of India's best-known soldiers. Retired General K.M. Kariappa suggests that Parliament be suspended temporarily so that a strong central government could combat the spread of communism and the country's economic and political troubles. Kariappa said President Radhakrishnan should take power, assisted by an advisory council of 12 men and women. This is Dallas Townsend, CBS News. In a moment, the weather forecast for the New York metropolitan area.
8:12. If you've been looking for a good-tasting cigarette to brighten your taste, then it's time you discovered that when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Yes, good taste going all the way. And here's why. First, you've got Kent's vintage tobaccos. They're flavor-blended to taste, mild and mellow. And then you've got the Kent filter for extra good taste. No wonder Kent is New York's largest-selling filter cigarette. So next time you buy cigarettes, remember, light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. Now here is the weather forecast for New York City and vicinity. The 8 o'clock temperature, 64 degrees, humidity 82%. The barometer reads 29.98 inches and is rising. The wind out of the north at 7 miles per hour. The temperature humidity index, 63. The weather in Central Park is sunny, and the forecast, mostly sunny today. Highest in the lower 80s, fair and cool tonight, lowest 60 to 65. Mostly sunny and pleasant tomorrow, highest temperature around 80. Precipitation probability near 10% through tomorrow. Winds north to northwest through tomorrow, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Repeating the present New York temperature, 64 degrees. And the time is 8:14. Listen again tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend. Today's program has been presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. This is WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.